So I'm always like wanting to, your turn, hand it off to somebody else. So with that other one, sometimes I forget I've got it on and I just kind of start talking. But with this one, I constantly feel the urge to say, all right, time for you. So obviously, Sid is not here. So you have me. We're going to do, I don't know what we're going to do. The possibilities are endless tonight, but we'll start with prayer. Also, can we start with some air? I bumped it down to 70, but it didn't kick on. I don't know that, it's just like there's nothing circulating. I need some negative ions circulating around. I feel like this mic's really hot or my voice is deeper than normal. No? No? Okay, maybe not. I can't get situated up here. So anyway, we'll start with prayer. Does anybody have like a prayer request that's kind of pressing? I know, you know, sometimes we can get kind of into great grandmas and all that. Not that we shouldn't pray for your great grandmother if she's still alive. God bless Irene and all her children. But anything pressing that is that we feel is expedient that we take before the Lord together. I didn't tick you off talking about great grandma. I'm sorry. Does anybody want to pray about anything? The weather? Anybody? Yeah, go ahead. Uh huh. Does your job depend on this? How much hurt? Okay. All right. Somebody lost their iPad and needs to find it. Anybody else got anything? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Pray for your pastor and his wife. They're in, South America? Patagonia? Is that South America? They're in South America right now having the, what I would assume to be the time of their life. They may not come back. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but Sid talks a lot about, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, God tying us to this area, we might just move. And every time he goes somewhere, I think, you know, that string may get pulled a little bit tighter. So, you know, he may or may not come back. You never know. But pray for him and safe travels. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, let's do that. You guys stand up. You guys stay seated. Let's just all extend our hands over these guys, and we'll just open in prayer this way, praying over these guys. Brett, you want to lead us?
Father, we boldly come before your throne of grace right now, and we enter through the door of Jesus. And Lord God, we just take you at your word that's eternal, that says we can come before there. We belong because of Christ, and we can ask for help and grace in a time of need. And we ask that on behalf of this whole group. Every individual, Father God, not just these individuals that are here tonight, Lord God, but the family members at home. Father, we ask you to move in the name of Jesus, and that the strong man be bound and cast out, whatever that strong man represents. And we pray that in agreement with your word. And Father, we just pray that you would move with a sovereign move upon each heart, to bring healing, that the virtue of Christ could flow and touch things that perhaps have been messed up. Perhaps as long as these guys can remember, your virtue can move and make it whole. Your breath can breathe, Father God, and bring life to things that have been dead a long time. And we simply just come in agreement with your word over each one of these men, over each one of these families, over this ministry. And we just thank you by faith for doing what we fail to even ask sometimes, Father God, because your word says that with you, Father, all things are possible. With man, it might be impossible, but restoration and healing and wholeness is possible with God. And we thank you by faith for that in Christ's name. Amen.
So I don't believe that God is ever stagnant. He's certainly not stagnant in my life. He's very Sporadic. God's sporadic in my life. Can God be sporadic, or is that me? It's probably me. It's me. But I'm not really where God's got me right now in my walk, and it's been this way for a while. And the last couple of times I taught, I really couldn't put my finger on what it was. And I guess over the past couple of days, or maybe last weekend, is where it really began to you know, I knew that I was going to be speaking tonight. So I guess in maybe some reflection time over the weekend, it hit me that, you know, really where God's got me at right now in my walk, as far as maybe this aspect of my calling, I'm more in a conversational point. Well, you know what I mean? I would much rather talk to you and have a conversation with you than I would to talk at you. Now, there's been times where I'm very much in a teaching, and, you know, like, you know, if you tried, you couldn't get a word in edgewise. I couldn't even get a word in edgewise. I can't stop, you know. But then there's other times like where I'm at right now, and it's actually something very new for me, because it's never really happened before. So Sid asked me a week ago to speak tonight. So I did what I always do. I started praying. I mean, I was praying anyway, but I started praying specifically for that. And I was going over some notes, because I'm a constant note taker, and I'm driving down the road, and I have to pull over on the side of the road and type stuff into my phone that pops into my head, and then I'll go back and clear some stuff out, and I'm like, there's no way that's God. That doesn't even sound, you know, just, but stuff pops in your head, you know. And so I was going what I would normally do. I've got the, you know, kind of like a routine. I pray and I think, and I try to picture, you know, what's my target audience for a message, and like, who am I, you know, because you're never going to really be able to stand in front of people and speak in any type of public speaking and really affect every single person. And when I say affect, I'm trusting that God is the one going to do the effect. But if you think that God's just, you know what, let's just wait on the Lord to move. See, that's just not going to work. Somebody's got to lead. You see what I mean? So if you, I guess I'm just kind of in this place where I'm more conversatorial. Is that a word? So to really tonight, as I was thinking about tonight, and I was praying, I was going over my notes, I just never really could hit on that one. Okay, this is it. This is the word for someone. This is maybe not for everybody, but, you know, there's been sometimes when you teach, and maybe this means absolutely nothing to you because you've never had to do any type of public speaking, so you may not be able to relate, but anybody that ever has had to stand up in front of class and give a presentation can relate. That's exactly what it's like to talk in front. This is Jesus. He loves you with his whole heart, and that's my presentation. Thank you. You know, it's kind of like what it's like. There's this dynamic that takes place where you're actually able to, when you begin to flow and when you begin to move in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, where the words just really begin to come. You know, there's like this rough outline, but you just kind of trust that prophetically God is going to begin to speak. So a lot of times I've got specific direction on where to go. Long story short, don't have one. Prayed about it. Sought God's face, went through my normal routine, and I just kept thinking, I just really just want to have a conversation. I don't want to stand up here and talk at you. I want to talk with you. You know what I'm saying? So tonight, the pressure is all on you guys. I'm taking it all off of me. Now, for anybody listening to the podcast, I guess tomorrow or whenever this is uploaded, I understand this is probably not going to make for good radio, but, you know, we'll just say you should have been here, right? So what I would really like is to kind of just open the floor, and if you've got any questions, we used to do this with youth. I don't think I've ever done it down here. It's really intimidating. But when we used to teach the youth, you know, it was always fun to me. Once in a while, we would come in and we'd just say, you know what, fire away, and we would just see where that discussion would take us. And it was a good gauge for me as Sonny as youth pastors, because it would kind of show us where the kids' heads were and what. Maybe some stuff that we need to do some review on. That's not really what I'm interested in tonight, because most of you probably know the word as well or better than me. But I really just want us to just come in tonight and just begin to let those creative juices begin to flow. Again, I know this is not going to make for good radio, but as far as for us here tonight, I really believe that we can have an encounter that touches all of us in some way, because there's more people doing the speaking. There's more opportunity for God, because God is not pouring everything through one vessel or one filter, but we can all begin to kind of get together and begin to kind of scratch the surface. Now, that being said, I also know one of the hardest things to do is for somebody to stand in front of you and say, "All right, has anybody got a question? Go." My mind is totally blank. So I, being the gracious speaker that I am going to be tonight, I'll help scratch the surface a little bit. But then, a matter of fact, you guys come on down. You slide down toward the front here. Let's all gather in a little bit closer. You youth kids, come on down. You don't have to sit on the front row, but maybe, you know, let's just all kind of get in close, right? We're gonna build us a little fire, and we're all gonna sit around it. Do we have any guitars? Hey, will you look in that room and see if there's a guitar in there? There should be like a Taylor inside a case. Any of you guys play? Somebody over here plays. I know a bunch of you guys play. Is anybody good at it though? Sorry. There may not even be one here, so it may be a moot point. You know what? I'm just going to get rid of this because it's bothering me. And I'm in charge and I do what I want to do. I'm a grown man and I got on my big boy pants. There's a guy that what? Oh, good. All right. Now, we're going to see if... I don't even know if there's one back there or not. Is Truman... Why did he shut the door? Do you have to shut the door to find it? Are you making one? We don't have to have it. It's fine. Yeah, you're totally off of it. No pressure. So I just thought maybe if there's a little musical accompanying in the background, you know, kind of get a little groove going. All right, so I'll scratch the surface. Now, here's the game we're going to play. When I'm done, what just never get to a point where I stop talking? that would be hilarious. So when I'm done, you can actually ask or comment. If you're going to comment, let's not get too far out there, though. You can ask a question or make a comment or whatever about something that I just said, or you can take the conversation in a completely different direction, and this way we'll fill time. Ready? Go. All right. So, basics of Christianity. Do you have a soul? And everybody said, no, you have a body. You are a soul. You see how we do that? When we start talking about our soul, we act like it's a part of us instead of it is us. Right? And so there's this breakdown that takes place in our mind, because your mind is actually your soul. You understand that we're a triune being. A human being, and notice it's a human being, not a human doing. Right? Because to be human, it's not what you're doing, it's just an act of being. That's why we're called human beings. For instance, someone in a, let's take two people, let's take one that is in a coma, right? In a coma, hooked up to life support, and let's take the other one, and we'll call his name Isaac, who is my son, who played in a state tennis tournament today. Yay, Isaac. Right? He did really play in a... Can y'all say, yay, can everybody, yay, Isaac. Isaac played in the state tennis tournament today. It's pretty cool. All right, so Isaac is out there playing tennis or sparring with a sword, whatever that was. And this other person, God bless them, we're praying for them in Jesus' name, they're in a coma. Both of them are still human beings, because it's not what you're doing. Being a human is just that. It is being human. And the person in a coma is no less human, right, than somebody playing in a tennis tournament. So human beings are a trinity in and of itself. We are a triune being. We have a soul. Your soul is you. Your soul is what makes you you. It is the you that makes you you. It is your emotional self. Many people call it the seat of the emotion. It is your mind, it is your intellect, it is your consciousness, and it is what separates you from the entire animal kingdom. Because the rest of the animal kingdom is not made up of a trinity, they're made up of a duality. So we have three parts, they have two. The second part of the human being, so number one is the soul, and that's the you that is thinking and processing and whatever's going on behind your eyes right now, that is you. So when we say Jesus came to save your soul, what are we saying? We're saying He came to save you. He came to give you a new mind. He came to give you a new brain, not the physical gray matter, but the spark on the inside of the brain that causes you to think the way that you think and act the way that you act and say the things that you say. That is your soul, and that is what Christ died to redeem. The second part of us is what? It's physical. It's body. Now, it's not just the external, it's the internal. It is the blood. It is the organs and all that stuff. That's the body. What's the third part? Third part is spirit. What is spirit? And this is where most people get really bogged down or confused or really just misinformed. What is your spirit? The Bible tells us that the spirit is life. So plants have a spirit. Now, it messes with people, but everything living on this planet has spirit, because the Bible tells us that spirit, lowercase, not capital holy S spirit, lowercase spirit, the spirit is life. It is a life force. It is what, when God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, it says that God reached down and breathed into Adam's nostrils, the pneuma, the breath of life, and man became a what? Living soul. So soul and spirit are two completely separate things. When you die, your spirit will return to its maker. That's the same for you. That's the same for Adolf Hitler. When Hitler died, his soul, we believe, is burning in an eternal hell. But the spirit, the force, the animation within him, right, the thing that brought life, that divine spark, it's just that. It's divine. So they've actually done studies, and I think we might have talked about this before, got the youth down here, so we'll be a little careful on how we word this, but they've actually done studies, and they've actually determined that at the moment of conception, when that meets the egg, I don't even want to use that word, dirty word, makes me giggle when I, you know, what? Oh, thank you. God, really? Don't ever talk like that again. Never say that word. So, yeah, when that meets the egg, it's hard. When that meets the egg, they've actually, and it's, you can actually see it on the internet. It's actually a very famous picture. They actually took a small, tiny, minute camera, and they watched that process, and scientists were astounded that when the sperm met the egg, there's a spark. And it is actually an electric current. It is actually photographable and measurable. It's the spirit. It's life. It's the divine spark that takes place. So we've got this mindset within us where we kind of treat our soul kind of like it's not us. It's a separate part of us. It's like, oh, I don't want my soul to go to hell. You don't have a soul. You are. It is you. And I believe that maybe it doesn't matter to you that much, but for me, that really helps me to begin to bring my salvation down to a more intimate level, because I'm like, every part about me needs redemption. Every part about me, I actually believe that there is a concept, and we won't get into it tonight, but I believe in a concept called triune salvation. I believe in salvation of the mind, body, and soul, the spirit, right? The mind, the spirit, and the body. But I don't believe that the body itself can be, like, it's going to be saved from turning back to dirt. That's pretty clear on how that takes place. But the body can still function while it's here in a redeemed state, in divine health. Now, our bodies are not very healthy because we don't take care of them very well. But your body can actually be in a regenerated state. And there's actually science behind it, but it ties in with spirituality. Think about, you've heard these, you've seen where Harvard and all these universities have done these studies on prayer and how prayer actually brings healing to people. They think it's a placebo effect, that the body actually kind of begins to heal itself because the mind convinced the body that whatever this prayer was, the same as whatever this medicine was actually helping me get better, right? But there's actually science, measurable science behind that. So why is that important? Well, number one, we've got to take care of ourselves. We spend a lot of time, I know people that are well-meaning Christians that are 375 pounds. Now, listen, I'm not the epitome of good health. I get that. I'm working on it. But I know well-meaning Christians that are 375 pounds, and they sit down and eat a box of Krispy Kreme donuts all night because the only thing they're concerned about is their soul going to heaven when they die. And evidently, they're trying to get there a lot quicker than the rest of us by the way that they're living their life. And yet, how is that a picture of the grace of Jesus Christ when you've got somebody that's not taking care of themselves? I know people that don't take care of themselves mentally all that well. Well, guess what? That's your soul. But there's this mindset that we really, you know, everything is so temporary. The only thing that's eternal is the soul. So that's really the only thing that I need to be concerned with. When in reality, don't you just want to be happy? I know people that are going to heaven that are just miserable, miserable people. And it's because they get trapped in these unhealthy cycles. Everything in nature is a rhythm. Everything in nature is a vibration. Do you know why everything in nature is a vibration? And it's science. There's science behind it. Do you know why everything in nature is a vibration? Because everything was created by sound. Because Genesis says, in the beginning, God said. Right? God vocalized. And when God sang, because I picture God singing creation, when God spoke, when God sang, when God grunted, when God past gas, whatever form of sound he decided upon, as soon as that was released, the atomic structure of an atom has a measurable frequency. An atom is made up of a proton, a neutron, and an electron. Guess what they're all doing? They're all moving in synchronicity. There's a rhythm to nature. There's a rhythm to life. And when you get physically, body, forget soul, when you get body out of rhythm, it begins to affect mind. When you get body out of rhythm, it begins to affect mind. And all of the spirituality and all of the praying in tongues and all the Bible reading is not going to change the fact that maybe you just hang around bad people. Maybe your diet just sucks. Maybe you just live in an unhealthy environment. Maybe your house has got black mold in it. And you can pray in tongues and you can whatever. But at the end of the day, there's still an aspect that is tethered to your soul, because the body and soul and spirit are tethered together. And the Bible says that only God can split asunder, right? Only God can divide body, soul, and spirit. So you're tied to you're tethered to these areas. And what I really see Christianity in a lot of people's lives lacking is a focus on being healthy, being happy. Now, that doesn't mean that you have... I don't work out. I work outside, but I don't go to a gym. So I'm not just talking about the act of physical exercise. I'm talking about surroundings, atmosphere. So when you go to the mountains... I think I'll hold on to the spirit stick now. When I go to the mountains, or when I go to the beach, or when you go to the mountains, or when you go to the beach, what's the one thing you notice about the air? It's clear. Do you know why? There's science behind it. It's not just all hocus pocus. It's not all just new age, you know, feel good kind of. There's science behind it. It's because the air is charged with negative ions. Negative ions are atomic molecules that have picked up an extra electron on the way. And so they actually begin to take all of the impurities in the air, microscopic impurities, and they begin to attach themselves to them so much that it weighs them down, and all of the heavy, dead, dank, polluted air drops to the lowest point, drops to the floor, drops to the surface. So you're not breathing it. You're breathing all of the positively, negatively charged ionic. You're breathing in a negative ionosphere of clean, healthy, pure air. Work environments with cubicles inside buildings with a bunch of electronics are loaded down with positive ions. Well, in nature, you know, everything's a lot of times it's inverse. Negative ions create positive vibes. Or vibrations, if vibes makes you uncomfortable. Negative ions actually produce positive charges. Positive charges create negative. So people that work in an environment in a cubicle, and understand we all have to do what we got to do to make a living, but people that work in those environments actually find themselves being drained more than someone that is doing something where the air is clean and fresh and all that, because you're actually, it's pulling energy out of you. You're burning more calories in that environment. It is actually wearing you down. So that's why when you go on vacation to the beach or to the mountains or somewhere like that, why a lot of times you come away just feeling better, just feeling recharged. Well, all of those ions have a frequency. Your body has a frequency. Everything in nature has a frequency. Your body's frequency, your body actually has the ability to resonate at several different frequencies, and because of that reason, when you get around a negatively charged environment, not negative environment, negatively charged environment, negative ions, when you get in that type surrounding, when you get in that area, you stay there long enough, we're going to the beach for 2 weeks. When you stay there long enough, your body begins to actually attune itself to that frequency. And so you actually come away feeling more, you know, in other words, when you're not standing in the middle of the fresh air, you're back at home, you're back at the hotel, you're back at the condo, whatever, you're not actually standing underneath that waterfall anymore, you still feel better because your body's been tuned. When you're around a positively charged environment, people that work in those office-type environments and never take a vacation and never go anywhere, they're in a perpetual state of being drained. Why? Because their body has attuned themselves to that frequency. Guess what? People have a frequency. Ever been around somebody that is just exhausting? God bless them, man. When I've been around them, it's because they're a vampire. There's a such thing as someone being an emotional vampire, a spiritual leech. They just attach themselves to your area, and they're just always demanding of your time and your resources and your energy. Some people just give off this energy, this vibe that I just don't want to be around. Do you know why? Because I'm in tune to a different, right? I'm resonating somewhere that they're not. So emotions have a frequency. Anger, rage, lust, jealousy, things on a human emotional level, they actually have a measurable frequency. It is very low and it is very slow. Love, joy, peace, those are high frequencies. That's where we turn, you know, they make you feel elevated. They make you feel high because you're resonating at a higher frequency. What does that mean? Show me the science behind it. Okay, I will. What are emotions? Emotions are what you feel when chemicals are released in your body. Think endorphins, serotonin. I think melanin was what makes you black, right? Is that melanin or melatonin? That's a different chemical. Melatonin helps you sleep. Melanin makes you look like you do, and I'd love to have some of your tan. So melatonin helps you sleep. Serotonin is actually what people with low, I think is it low serotonin actually makes you depressed. Think endorphins, adrenaline. When those are all hormones in the body that are produced, those are all hormones in the body that are, those are all released chemicals that are secreted by glands in your body. When a gland is activated, it begins to release. When you work out, you work out, you nice physical specimen. When you work out, your body actually releases dopamine, and it feels good to work out. It feels positive to work out, right? It feels good to burn those calories. It feels good to lift those weights. And it's, there's actually a little bit of an addictive quality to it. Well, what happens is when you're doing something like that, the dopamine and the endorphins are released into your system by glands. When those glands are triggered on, they can measure the sound that it makes with an endoscope. So they've taken people and put them in laboratories, and they've made them watch things on TV that are depressing so that they can measure what it looks like on a frequency level. When those things begin to get activated into the bloodstream, what it causes your heart to do, what it causes the nerves and the synapses to begin to fire, when all of that begins to take place, it's measurable. So, Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, we don't even have it up on the screen. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. What is fear? Fear is an emotion, and God didn't give it to us. Doesn't mean you don't act. Doesn't mean it can't be activated in you. It just means when it's activated in you, that's not something from God. And that's why. It's because it causes you to just, you're at that lower place. Now, why is all this important? Because you need to be healthy. Because you need to be around positive people. You need to be around, and we're not talking about the ions anymore. You know, you need to be around things, and you need to be around people that are uplifting to you. You need to continually saturate yourself in an environment that brings you joy and that brings you... I'm not saying if it feels good, do it. We all understand what sin is. I'm saying we need to surround ourselves in such an atmosphere. You guys in the Blake House... If you won't treat this program like hell on earth, and you'll actually begin to enjoy the discussions that you have with each other and begin to look for these guys that have been in the program for a while and that are leaders now, they can tell you. There's a change that begins to take place. If you'll really open yourself up to that atmosphere and you'll allow that to begin to stir some things within you, there is a positive physical change that can begin to take place. I'm so tired of this mindset with Christians that the only thing that matters is the soul and that the body's irrelevant. My Bible says the body and soul are tethered. And if they're tethered, then they all need to be coming under the subjection of Jesus Christ. Right? All right. Go. Anybody? Anybody?
I want to kind of tag on, not to what you were just speaking about, but the beginning when you were talking about how you've just been in a place of, it's just a continual conversation with God. And I kind of feel like that's the, maybe not for everyone, but a lot of people in our church and my friends that are connected to God and different, everywhere I hear it's echoing, that's where everyone's relationship is right now. I know we go through seasons where a lot of times my job is to, or not my job, but I'm at a season where I just need to be continually taught. And so I'm continuing to hear studies and teachings of principles and theology and things like that. And those are good seasons as well. I know each season, you know, there's time for every season, but the season right now where I'm in and I continue to hear everyone's in is that it's just a continual conversation with God. And I feel like lately we've had so many people that kind of feel, when they hear other people say that, they feel this pressure and get kind of bogged down in it because they're like, well, that's not happening for me. Why do you guys say it and it seems like it's this easy thing to do and it's this easy and light burden to carry? But when they try to take on that pressure of having that continual conversation with God, to them it just seems like this unattainable thing. And I was kind of in that way really about 2 or 3 months ago. I kind of felt that way. I felt like when everyone was started talking about, all they did was just conversate with God off and on throughout the day, I thought, oh, why am I not hearing God that way? And I know, especially in the youth group when I was younger, I struggled with this a lot. Because I didn't hear God the way that my dad heard God, or the way that, you know, Damon might hear God, or these other people that you look up to hear God. You don't hear him that way. And I did this study recently, and it completely opened, really, I want to say it opened my heart to the possibilities. And kind of lifted the scales off my eyes of, this is how I'm built to hear God. And just how it's very easy for us to come in and believe that we're all made, God made each of us unique. We all can grab a hold of that truth and say, yeah, because I can look at Hunter and see me and Hunter don't look anything alike. So yeah, God obviously made us unique. But it's harder for me to wrap my mind around the concept that not only do I look different from Hunter, I can hear God differently from Hunter too, and that's okay. What we do is we come in and we try to box ourselves in and say, well, I'm not a hearer, so I don't hear God. I'm not hearing God that way. And I did this study by this lady, and she broke it down into, there's 4 different types of ways that people hear God. There's the hearers, the seers, the knowers, and the feelers. And she even makes this cute quiz that you can take, because everyone loves online quizzes, and, you know, to find out what your hearing personality is and blah, blah, blah. And that was neat to kind of figure out. But really, even without taking the quiz, just when I start calling off those things, when I start describing them, I feel like something will leap in your spirit, and you'll say, yeah, that is how I actually hear God. That makes sense for my life. What we kind of do, though, is we'll come in and say, well, I'm not a hearer, because the hearers are the one that is kind of the obvious thing. They directly hear God's voice. They know God will speak to them in ways of, hey, there's a man named Bob. You're going to find him outside. You need to go pray with him directly about his son who's lost. That's how hearers hear God. And they walk in that in confidence, and that can be kind of intimidating. That's why when I compare myself to like a Damon or someone like that who hears God that way, it can get real discouraging, or at least for me it gets real discouraging because I don't hear God like that. So I'll come in and say, God, I'm not hearing God at all. When it's not that I'm not hearing God at all, I'm not listening to the way he speaks to me. So if you're here, congratulations, that's awesome. But not all of us hear God that way, and that's okay. Me personally, I am a knower and a feeler. You can kind of be 2 different things. You don't have to box yourself in on that as well. If you're a knower, and I encourage you to kind of go through, and I posted it on Instagram, but go through and do this study. It'll kind of, she'll explain it a lot more. She has about 6 hours for you to sit down and listen to her on this. But knowers, you kind of just have this gut intuition on, this is what I should be doing in my life right now, or this is what I'm supposed to pray with this person about, or I really feel like God will maybe highlight people for you, kind of point them out to you in a crowd, and you just kind of have that feeling in your gut of, I know I'm just supposed to give them a hug and talk to them. Or when you get older in life, you know, maybe I know I'm supposed to, this is the job I'm supposed to take, or whatever. That's how we kind of speak to knowers, is you just have this gut feeling inside you. If you're a feeler, you are very aware of the environment and aware of other people's emotions and things going on. You're aware of God's emotions. And so that's how he can kind of direct you in that path. And then if you're a seer, obviously, you know, it's more of the visionary type people. You can see where God's wanting, where he's wanting to go, where he's wanting to take things. And that can be kind of difficult too, because you see things as they're supposed to be instead of how they are now. You see things how in 10 years it's really supposed to look like this. Now, how we're supposed to get there, I don't know, but in 10 years this is what it's supposed to be like. So each category has pros and cons of how we hear God. The main thing I wanted, that I felt like I was supposed to convey tonight, I do encourage you to do the study and learn and discover how you hear God best, so that you can tap into that and begin experiencing that better. But I felt like he just wanted me to convey tonight that this is an easy and light thing. It doesn't have to be something that's a big burden, this continual conversation with God. You know, in the Bible, it tells us that his burden is easy. And I feel like we put so much pressure on ourselves that it becomes very discouraging. And if you're like me, when I start to get discouraged in something, I just kind of throw my hands up at it and say, you know what, I'm going to give up on this for a little bit, and I'll come back to it when I feel I'm in a better place, or when I've grown more, when I'm older or more developed, or just when I'm in a better place, I'll come tackle this again. I don't like feeling defeated. I like being really good at stuff. Kind of like losing sucks. Well, not being good at something sucks too. So we'll come, or at least I do, I'll come in and put all this pressure on myself if it has to be done this way. And it's been so freeing for me to understand that I don't have to come before God and carry on this fancy conversation with him using big words or quoting all this scripture when I'm praying. Because a lot of times I hear people, you know, when they're praying, they'll quote scripture. And that's awesome for them. I don't do that. That's not how I talk to somebody. That's not how I relate to someone. When I'm telling you about a movie, I'm not going to quote the movie to you. I'm going to tell you how it made me feel. Probably because I'm a feeler in a lot of aspects. So I just want to encourage you to carve out that time. It doesn't have to be something that is, I'm going to sit down for 30 minutes today, and I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to wait on the Lord to speak to me. Because that's not what it looks like for me. And it's okay if that's not what it looks like for you. Should we spend time in the Word? Absolutely. You absolutely should spend time in the Word. But we get so bogged down with it that it has to look like this two-hour thing in the mornings of, well, I've read my devotion, I've prayed, and I'm going to sit and wait on the Lord to speak to me. It doesn't have to look like that. Because I don't have 2 hours in the morning to sit down and do that. Not uninterrupted, anyway. I'm going to have children crawling up my legs and emails to be answered. And I know you guys probably don't have 2 hours in the morning before school. Y'all aren't getting up at 4, are you? No, it's not a very feasible thing in your life right now. But you can have this continual conversation that Jeremy was talking about with God, and it doesn't have to be anything fancy, and it doesn't have to be proper. It doesn't have to be neat and pretty and perfect. He doesn't call us to be perfect all the time with him. He wants us to be real with him and have a real and honest relationship. So I just want to challenge you to begin opening yourself up to having that real relationship with him and having that conversation that continues hour by hour. It's not a thing of, well, I've read my Bible for 30 minutes this morning, so I'm done with God for the day. That's not what it's supposed to look like. It is supposed to be a continual hour by hour, minute by minute, of continuing, kind of like when I'm talking to Brett. You know, I don't get to talk to him 5 hours during the day. He's at work, I'm at work, we're busy. And I know all y'all's lives are busy all the time. Life is busy. But when I'm talking to him, I don't start our conversation over every time I talk to him. Every time I send him a text, I don't say, hey, how's your day going? How's this? No, it's just a pickup of where I left off an hour ago when I was texting him. I don't restart everything again. I just pick right back up where I left off because it's a continual conversation because I'm in that deep relationship with him. I know him. I know how he reacts to things. And what I don't know, I'm digging deeper to find out. And that's how God wants it to be with him, is this relaxed, and I say that loosely because, like you, I don't want it to become this thing of where we turn into these hippies who, you know, it felt good, so that's my life. I'm making myself happy. That's not what it is. But it is a relaxed thing where where you can live in peace. Even if your circumstances aren't peaceful, you can live in peace. If you're having that deep relationship with him, that continued conversation about your life with him and about yourself with him and about him and who he is. I don't know if that makes sense at all. But.
Absolutely. The book of Revelation tells us that, I think it's a seal or a scroll one that is open. You know, it's during the whole, you know, fireplace, brimstone, God destroying the earth, Battle of Armageddon, Antichrist, 666 in her forehead, and all that stuff that nobody really understands. But there's a portion in there where it says that there's a scroll or a seal or a trumpet, and when that one, you know, every time something would happen, you know, every time a scroll would open, something else would happen. Every time a trumpet would blow, something would happen. there's a scroll or a trumpet or a seal or something that when it is opened or blown or whatever, it says that there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. And I've always took that to mean, well, then there's noise the rest of the time. If God took the time to say there was silence in heaven for half an hour, then that must mean that is not something very common, right? Because why point it out if it's common? Like, I ate breakfast today. Okay, big guy, congratulations. The majority of us did as well. I mean, like, it's just you're not going to bring it up if it's common. And so every time I've read that, it kind of just spurs this mindset in me that God is never silent. He's always speaking. We've just got to tune in to that frequency. And like Aaliyah said, there's a lot of times with a lot of us where maybe nobody's ever really instructed us how to hear God, or maybe we're just in a different season, and that's part of that relationship is trying to find, okay, I know God wants me, like, I know God wants to converse with me. I know God wants me to be in a relationship with Him. If you're married in here and happily married, more than likely you're happily married to the person that was easy for you to talk to. Because if it was work, if you're in a relationship right now where you're not married and all it feels like is work to try to get this person to talk, run. Because it shouldn't be that hard. I'm not saying relationships are not a struggle. We all can agree that they are, at least some of us can agree that they are a struggle for y'all anyway. But it still should be easy. Well, God doesn't want our walk to be a struggle. He wants your prayer to be something that your time with Him spent in meditation, He wants that something that you look forward to. Like, if you miss it, it's like, okay, wait a minute now. My eyes are jacked up and the whole world's falling apart because I didn't get my quiet time with Jesus today. Well, most of us don't really look at it that way, but God wants us to, because He wants that. He craves that. And I found a lot of times that God is not speaking to me because I won't shut up. Because I'm constantly like, God, what do you want me to do about this? What do you want me to do about this? God's shh. You know, I've never read that study before, but that I want to check it out, because years ago I discovered that I hear God with my eyes. That's me. I don't hear God audibly with my ears. I hear God with my eyes. I'm driving down the road, something weird catches my eye, and I'm like, huh. And next thing you know, I'm studying about negative ions. You know, but I feel like that's God just kind of leading me on this journey. It says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. But then it says faith comes by what?
Hearing.
How do you get faith?
Hearing.
Right? So you're going to walk by what you hear, not by what you see. Right, so God speaks in that way, but like a radio, like we don't have a radio on in here right now. But if we had one on, especially one of the kind with a dial, you can scan across the frequencies, and you pick up this and a little bit of Mexican music and a little bit of this and a little bit of talk radio and a little bit of, you know, if you scan that, right. Well, we don't have a radio on in here right now. Does that mean those radio stations are not on? No, they're on. They're broadcasting. We're just not on and tuned in. And a lot of times it takes that, you know, I got to get the world to stop, and I've got to slow down, and I need 30 minutes in a dark room or a light room, or 30 minutes at the beach, or 30 minutes in the bed, whatever it is for you. But whatever works for you. For me, a lot of times it's the shower. I don't know why. Maybe I don't know why. But a lot of times when I'll get in the shower thinking, you need a shower. And next thing you know, I'm having this experience with God that is real and that no one can ever talk me out of. Because I don't know about you, but I've never seen God. I want to, but I've never seen Him. So at the end of the day, we're all trusting our eternal salvation in somebody we can't physically look at. That's kind of an intimidating thing. And that's why a lot of the world thinks we're so asinine of a belief system, because we don't have statues that we bow down to, and we don't have sacred cows or any of this kind of stuff. We believe in an invisible God. So God gives us this level of communication through the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us fully engaged, because if not, we get distracted real easy, because at the end of the day, we're still in a relationship with somebody that we can't physically touch or see. And that's an intimidating thing. So you really need your, whatever it takes for you, quiet time or music or whatever it is, but really begin to, how many people, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many people would say that you do struggle hearing God? You do. Okay, my hands came up anyway. So that tells me that you really do. And that's absolutely where all of us are at some point or another. And I'll probably be there again on down the road. You know, when I say that I prayed this week and I was trying to figure out what God wanted me to talk about tonight, it's not that God wasn't speaking to me. It's just everything He was speaking, I knew as soon as He spoke, it's going to heaven. You know what I mean? It's, maybe it was a personal level of communication. The one encouragement that I'll give anybody that says, I'm kind of struggling right now hearing God, or I've never heard God, listen and look. How do you feel right now? Right? Begin to tap in. God gave you those emotions and God gave you those five senses for a reason. I know people, and I've never done it, but I'm not going to argue with them because I trust these people and I trust them with my baby's life. But I know people that say that they've been under such a heavy anointing of the presence of God in a church service, they begin to smell things they've never smelled before and things that were certainly not in that room. And I believe these people when they say that. They say, I know what God smells like. I've been alone in my bedroom at night and praying and just feel, you know, praying over a situation, agonizing about a friend in the hospital, and that smell come through my house, and I know it's God walking those halls with me. You know, I just made my hair stand up from back on that. I want that. Listen, I'm kind of like a big smell in it. I like smells. So, the one thing that I want to encourage you guys is tap into that. Begin to say, okay, you know what? Obviously, this whole trying to hear God, or just trying to see God, things not working for me. We'll begin to look at some other aspects. Okay, well, let me begin to read. Because God will speak to you through His Word. Let me begin to put myself in situations where I can maybe begin to feel some emotions. I know people that say, well, I don't know, I mean, I don't really hear God, or I don't really feel God. And then they come in church on Sunday morning and they just stand there. Well, no wonder you don't feel God, because you're not letting yourself even be a part of the atmosphere that everybody else is in. Try this. Try lifting, right? When we're in corporate worship, try lifting a hand. You'd be amazed at what God can begin to do through an upraised hand. Anybody?
I think it's important to quieten all the other noise if we expect to hear God.
Amen.
You know, when my kids are coming to me and they demand to be heard, even if I have the TV, which I don't want the TV on because it's more noise, but if I have the TV up as loud as it goes and the radio up as loud as it goes, they're going to come to me and pull on my legs and yell till they're heard. But God's not like that. He's not going to come to us and yell until He's heard in our life, because He's not going to push Himself on us. So we have to learn, if we want to hear Him, to cut out the distractions, cut out the other noise, if we're going to hear His voice.
Amen. You need to make up in your mind, in your relationship with God, God's the adult. That's really the way it works. God's always the adult in that relationship. So He's not going to be the one that's tagging and doing everything. Hey, God, I'm here trying to get your attention with a trampoline outside the window. You know, that's not God. God's the adult in the relationship. You got something? Go ahead.
Well, you both touched on it. It just reminds me, I was talking back when we used to, I think it might have been one night a month or whatever, our church, we had a group from our church that would go to Covenant Life and help serve food down there. And after that or during that, I was talking to their pastor at the time, Dallas, Pastor Dallas, and I'd never heard him preach. But, you know, I knew he was pastor of a growing church, and it was a church of God, so they were used to the Spirit moving and things like that, so there was some commonality. And it was a time in his life when he was driving down for 2 or 3 days a week, or 2 or 3 days a month, and sitting under a crash course at Southeastern College that Mark Rutland was teaching. It was one of those things, man, I wish I could do that. But anyway, I was sitting there talking to him, and out of the blue, he just looked at me and he said, I got to share something with you. And I was like, what? He said, well, I got a circle of pastors and friends and whatever. And he said, they use terms like, you know, God said, well, God said, well, God said, you know, over the bowl of Raisin Bran, well, God said. And much like you guys were talking, he said, it was so, they heard God, I assume, because these men wouldn't lie to impress him.
He said, I began to have insecurity creep in to the level where it was hindering me. Which just him having the freedom to share that, being a pastor of a growing church, bless me. Because, you know, the devil's really good at what he does. He wants to make you feel like you're the only one struggling with that. Well, here's a pastor telling me that. So that kind of helped me a little bit feel less insecure. But then he told me a real quick story, and I'll be quick about it. He said the week or two before that, it was right when Mark Rutland had, because he shared it with us at the men's advance, when Mark Rutland was basically fixing to retire, and they asked him to come take over Oral Roberts University, become the president, just to get him out of trouble. And Dallas said that he was actually at Lakeland, Florida, Southeastern University, when Mark Rutland had the press conference with the media to announce it. But basically, back behind, after the media thing, he walked these other pastors through. And here's Mark Rutland in his 60s or 70s, just an amazing man of God. I feel like I know him personally, but I don't, just because of how big he's been in my life, his ministry. When he walked those men through how he accepted that challenge at 70, at retirement, he's going to take over a university that's in trouble. He said God never told him to do it. And Dallas was like, what? How do you move from to Oklahoma, basically, to what you guys were talking about? He said it in simplistic terms, I felt like it was the right thing. I sought God, but he never seemingly would give me the answer in the manner that he had typically heard things in the past for 30 years. Go to Ghana. Anybody read his book when he was told by God to go to Ghana when it was still a communist nation in the 70s? He went. But he said, I never heard that. He said, so it was like I would throw out a marker or a fleece, not in tempting God. And this is the example. He said, you know, when a lake gets low, you stay between the buoys where the water, where the river's going through there. He said, that's what it was kind of like. He said, I'd see two buoys. I knew I had to be between them, or I'd hit bottom. I would head that way spiritually and seeking the Lord. I wouldn't see anything but those two buoys. I would get between them and look for the next two. All along, praying, and he said, even after he took the job and said he would do it, he never had God verbally say, this is my will. It was a feeling that he felt like God led him down. And Dallas's point was, it helped him with his insecurity because God didn't speak to him over his Bowler Raisin brand like all of his running mates did. So I guess my point is, if pastors of growing churches and men that have moved mountains on a national scale sometimes have to just work it out with God, you're not the only one. Because any time we start talking about something like this, the devil does not want you to work it out with God. He wants you to let the anxiety or the insecurity keep you from taking that next step. And don't let him. Know beforehand that he's going to do that. Amen? And that's what she touched on. You don't have to hear like Jeremy. You don't have to hear like Aaliyah. You may not even hear the next time like you heard the last time. Because we're real good about putting God in a box. And just sometimes he'll speak in a different way. Amen? But don't let the devil come in and rob you of just getting in there with God like a genuine relationship and just work it out with him. Because you got to know his character is such, he wants to reveal himself to you. How and when is up to him, but he wants to. Amen? Don't let the devil in there.
Got a couple of more minutes. What you got, bud? Hold on. I'll bring the spirit stick.
It's kind of funny. I kind of used to talk about spirits of low frequency, resentfulness, idolatry. And then it kind of struck a chord with me. It's like fruits of the flesh a little bit. And I feed into a lot of idolatry. I put myself on a pedestal, it seems like, and I put myself in front of God. And I kept reading about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it said that hope, love, and faith abides, but love is number one. I guess really, like, whenever I start not seeing God is when I start putting my self-worth above that. And then whenever I fail because man always failed. So I guess really my question is how can I find the self-worth that God finds in me instead of, like, actually, because every time I fail, I look at the picture and I see it, like, dang, like, God really should have, like, tried to speak to me. And then it's just, like, this vicious cycle that I get into, and it puts me in a spot where I can't really see God until it's too late. And then I feel like God chastises me. And then it's just like, I don't know, I'm trying to, like, cleanse the flesh a little bit more, if that makes sense.
Number one, you're kind of in this thing like the rest of us, and so you're still growing. So, like, there are things that, like, there's a little baby, and you say, don't touch that stove, it's hot. And then the baby touches that stove, and it's hot. It's probably not going to do that again. But if you turn the stove on, and it's warming up, and the kid's never encountered the stove before, and you say, don't touch that, it's hot, and they touch it, and it's just kind of maybe lukewarm, there's a good chance they're going to go back to it again. And, you know, sometimes it's just that, I'll get to your first part of your question in a minute, but sometimes it's just that, you know what, screw up. Let God chastise you. You know what that's called? Growing, learning, living, experiencing, right? We've got one trip in this thing called life, and yes, we do have to get it right in the end, but that doesn't mean there's not going to be a lot of living that goes on in between. The thing that I would tell you about self-worth is, man, how can you not see self-worth in you? Because Christ died for you. It's a personal thing. He didn't die for the whole world. He died for you, right? And then He died for you, and then He died for you, and then He died for you. But you know, the Bible is very clear, and theology is very clear in that, because one man, really, you want to get right down to it, why is sin here? Sin is here because of one man. So who did Jesus die for? I mean, really, if you want to get... So if you ever think, like, well, God died for all those other people, but, you know, Jesus didn't die on that cross for me, because, you know, there's a lot of self-worth to be found in the fact that God died for you. He died for one man, and guess what? I just happen to be one man, and you just happen to be one man, and even the women over there happen to be one man in the human sense, and He died for that one individual. So there's an incredible treasure of self-worth found. Now, it's not the same as pride. We all know that pride is wrong, right? But there's still no reason as a believer to hang your head in defeat and walk around, you know, because you happen to be involved in a program or because your marriage is struggling right now. There's still no reason as a believer to walk around with that head hung in, even after your biggest screw-up. Even after your biggest mess up that you have, what do we all do? The weight of the world, the weight of that sin, the condemnation from the enemy, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, is this overwhelming drink that is placed in our hand that causes us to, when we get around church or people from church or at church, there's this shrinking away because we're dirty and because we're unclean and because we've sinned and because we've blown it. And God is okay with that. God's okay with you making mistakes. You know, I'll never forget this when this came to me. I had spoke somewhere and, you know, like 8 people got saved. Like powerful youth meeting, something like just powerful presence of God. 8 kids get saved. How real can we be tonight? We got 5 minutes to be real. Powerful meeting. Powerful anointing. One of the most powerful times I had felt God use me. Week later, looked at pornography on the internet. And it crushed me. I thought God had taken His calling from my life. I felt like I had completely failed as a human. I was a complete hypocrite. I didn't feel like I was going to hell because I feel like me and God's got... But I thought God will never, ever use me again, because here I was on top of this spiritual mountain, and then I fell into this area of sin that the devil would love for us to keep hidden, because like Brett said, when the devil makes you feel like you're the only one, when the devil makes you think that you're the only one with that struggle, the devil likes to operate in darkness. But when we pull those covers back and say, you know what, I've struggled with pornography before, there's a freedom that comes along with that, with being able to say, you know what, I'm okay with you knowing that I screw up. I'm okay with you knowing that I have struggles. Because you know what that does? It lets me off the hook. But at the time, I didn't know any of this. So I was crushed. And rightfully so, should have felt bad, should have felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But there's a lot of other juice that came with it. There's a lot of condemnation. There was a lot of me feeling like God would never use me ever again. You've blown it too big. And God impressed upon me. I don't want to say spoke. I want to be careful and not say spoke. And somebody think, you know, God talks to me audibly, because he don't. Wish he would. God impressed upon me, there's nothing you can do to disqualify yourself, because there's nothing you did to qualify yourself. I didn't use you to speak in front of a FCA and 8 kids get saved because of anything that you've ever done that is of any worth. I just needed an ass to speak, and you happened to be a convenient ass for me to use. And there was a freedom in that. You can't be disqualified, man. You can't. Because you didn't do anything to be qualified to begin with. The qualification is all His. It was His cross. It was your sin. But it was His cross. And it was His perfection. And it was His death. And it was His resurrection that has given you new life. And there's nothing you can do save just simply walking away. Because we all have free will. And you can just say, you know what, this whole God thing, hell sounds like a much better place. Whatever, you know, whatever conversation you have in your head. You know, I don't need this Jesus thing or whatever. That's okay. Now, you know, you have, but you still didn't disqualify yourself. You forfeited. And there's a big difference in being disqualified and forfeited. We probably need to go. I don't want to go over. But does anybody, go ahead. Okay, good. Well, you know what? If you need to leave, if you guys, anybody needs to leave, feel free. You are dismissed. Here we go.
I just want to address him for a second. The word says you have the power of life and death in your tongue. God spoke this world into existence. That right there will tell us how much He values what you speak. So you have to speak it. First of all, you got to speak it to yourself. Because if you don't like yourself,
somebody else may like you. If you like yourself, you got to do something about that first. You got to speak those positive words. I listened to a lady who said, they may not remember what you say, but they'll always remember how you make them feel. That's words to live by right there. How does that person feel? How did you leave them feeling? So take those words and put those words out there that you are worth what God shed His blood for. You're worth that. You're worth it, you're worth it, I'm worth it, everybody's worth it. The devil will tell you the exact opposite, and he will grind on you, grind on you, grind on you. But you got to look to the one who's paid it all for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, I have a coach's voice, so I'm going to just talk to you. I'm going to tell you something. We got to rightly see him, okay? Because right now I think you vision him standing up over the big stick ready to club you. He's not that guy. He's a good one.
Amen.
His goodness covers all of us. We are not worthy. We are not worthy. But He made us that way when He went to the cross for us, okay? And you have, it's taken me a long time to get there. I've been doing this now 14 years. And I'm really just now coming in. So I feel like you have to get it overnight. It is a process. It takes screwing up. But you know where you run to Him. You don't run to your buddy. You know, we got to have those people that edify us and encourage us. And like Randy just said, speak life. Okay? If you're saying God's mad at me, then you're thinking that. God loves you. He sent His very best. Where we get tied down is when Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice him. It's like they're talking about, I would have been so mad that he was making me take my son. I might not have heard there was a little thing over here in the thicket we could sacrifice. Okay? So we've got to be open to the fact that he loves us. He knew what he was getting when he got me. He didn't pick. He didn't just say, well, no, I'm not getting hurt. He got us all. Okay, so you have to understand that, and you have to walk in belief until you make it. Faith until you make it. Okay? We all have those fig leaves we hide behind. But you got to fake it till you make it some days. Okay? Find all those things, Jeremy's, all those endorphins, all that dopamine, whatever it is you got to find, find it. Find the good stuff. Okay? Leave the Eeyores, all those negative people behind. They're here. There's some of them may be sitting beside you. Don't look at them. But some of them may be sitting beside you. Okay? You got what you need when you said yes to him to do it. You got to keep saying yes. You got to keep walking and keep putting your foot in front of the other. It's day by day. It's not a 12-step program. It's a day by day. It's a minute by minute sometimes. And you got to know he loves you. You got to believe that with everything in you. Don't let the world tell you different, because they will.
Yeah.
You got to know that you know, even on the days it looks terrible. Even when your family says, man, your friends. You got to separate yourself from some stuff. But it starts in what you think and what you believe in your heart. That's where it starts.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
You guys can do this. We've seen a lot of people come before you from this house. And you got what you need when you said yes. You got it. We're not worthy. He is. But it's our job to be more. You can't do more. You got to be more. Be more. Love him and let him love on you. Let him love on you. Because he does. He sent his very best to help us. I'm sorry. I got you.
Listen when coach speaks. Better go home. You better love you some self. Do you think about that? The life force that created the entire universe wants to have a relationship and a conversation with you. And he loves you so much he wants to do it forever. Like, God is like, I can't wait to get these people up here, so all we do, we just sit around talking all the time. So, every head bowed, every eye closed, like this. Is there anybody in here tonight, and you say, dude, I want it. I'm ready. I've played this game. I have been around this thing, or I haven't been around this thing. Maybe this is the first time you've heard anything even close to the gospel. Maybe this is the 1,037th time you've heard something similar to the gospel. Maybe something stood up on the inside of you tonight that says, you know what, I want it, I'm ready to do this. If you haven't already made that commitment to commit your life to Christ, but you want to tonight, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. There's one. There's two. Do you feel that? Do you feel the energy just begin to shift in this place? As people begin to make a life-altering decision to be born again. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. I tell you what, if you raised your hand just now, I'm going to ask you to come over here to the side, and Brett, you go over there and talk to these guys. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. It can be a first-time salvation. It can be a rededication. It can be anything you want it to be. Just make sure it's born again.
You're actively watching someone be regenerated. Their soul is being forever changed. Do you remember? I want you to look at me for just a minute. We'll let them have their private moment over there. Do you remember what it was like before you got saved? Not all the junk you were into and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about on a mental level. You didn't know what it was like to feel bad about something. You just did everything because it was habitual. I mean, you just did things. And then you were introduced to this concept called the gospel, and something rang true within you. And you said, "You know what? I'm gonna pray a prayer." And we call it being born again. We call it that because Jesus called it that. I actually don't even like the term saved all that much, but I like the term being born again. Something happened, and your soul was regenerated on the inside of you, like coming out of another womb. And all of a sudden, you develop this thing called a conscience. And for some of us, that's been quite a burden that we've carried. I didn't even know I was supposed to feel bad about that kind of stuff. Really, God? You know, this conscience. But there is an actual birth that takes place. You know what I'm talking about? Can you feel it? There's a birth that takes place when you get saved, where you just become self-aware, and all of a sudden you start thinking about that. Like, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to watch that. I don't want to do that, or I do want to do that, and I do want to watch. You know, your likes change. I heard a guy say one time, when you get saved, man, you still do whatever you want to do. God's just going to change the things you want to do. And there's a lot of truth to that. Has anybody else got anything? I know we're technically supposed to be done, but we don't want to interrupt this moment over there. Anybody? For you guys especially, just go with what Lisa said tonight, and go with what Aaliyah said and the different things that we've talked about, and just you're on this journey, and I want you guys to know something. I don't know if you know this or not. There's never been a time any of you have came in here and any of us look at you as any different than us. Do you know that? I've never looked at anybody in this program and thought, "Lord, let's pray for them in Jesus' name. Maybe they'll get where we're at." I'm a jacked up joker. Like, you have no idea how far I am from perfection. Like, if you knew, you'd ask me to never pick this spirit stick up again. You would. And I'd be okay with you saying that, because there's many times I don't feel like I need to have this in my hand. We've never looked at you as anything less than a human being and a brother and sister in Christ. And I don't know if I've never said it publicly, I don't guess, but I love having you guys here. I love the fact, leaders, be sure to tell Jason and all those guys, thank you so much for trusting this house with these souls to come in here, because I promise you, we've got more from you than you've ever got from us just by you being here and seeing the smile on your face or watching somebody be regenerated. That just, man, that gets my rocks off. I like that stuff. Thank you so much for being here and for coming here week after week and being a part of what we do and allowing us to be a part of your life and you being a part of our. We are less of a church without you here. We are a shadow of what we are intended to be without you guys being here. You are that integral a part of this body. I'll tell you one more thing. I suck so bad at the remembering to bring stuff for these guys, you know, because I don't read the church emails. No offense, I didn't read them when my wife was writing them either. But I don't read the church emails. But today I decided I would read one, mainly to make sure I didn't have nursery. I was like, I think I'm supposed to teach, but I might have nursery. So I looked at this list, and I saw aluminum foil on there. And I was like, you know, that's something. Okay. Jeremy, remember to go get stuff for the Blake House guys. Remember to go by and get what? Aluminum foil, because that was our focus item for this week. 30 minutes later, back into my day doing my thing, and out of nowhere, at a really weird time of day, I just get really hungry. Like, it's because I'm a fat kid, I guess, but like, it's a weird time of day. Like, I know my body's biorhythms, dude. I know when I'm supposed to be hungry and when I'm supposed to be sleepy. And I was hungry at a weird time of day, and I had this craving for hot wings. That part's not weird. Time of day was weird. The hot wings was not a weird thing. So I text Sonny, and I was like, "You're not cooking before church, are you? Because, you know, if you are, I'll wait." And she said, "No, I don't think so. I'm going to go get me some hot wings." I walk into the hot wing place. You guys are, like, oblivious to my brain at this point. I walk into the hot wing place, order my food, and look over, and there is the most biggest aluminum foil container I've ever. This thing was like 4 feet long, as big around as a basketball. It was it was like commercial grade aluminum foil, and it was almost like God said, "Try to forget this one." Is this big enough? So I went, because I am spiritual and holy and perfect, I went to the dollar store and bought you guys the good stuff. It's not the dollar store brand. I went to the dollar store because they're cheaper, even on the name brand stuff, and I got you the good tinfoil. I said all that to say you people need to make sure that you are sowing into this program and the Harrelson County Backpack Program, because those are two outreaches that we have here. And you know how hard it was for me to go into the dollar store and get the three things of tinfoil? It wasn't hard at all. It wasn't expensive at all. I tend to forget, because in reality we think about what we want to think about. So I'm going to try to do better on that. I said all that in addition to say that was God speaking to me. It really, what are the chances of me seeing tenfold on